This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan. San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Chris is unapologetic about being a former pitcher and wanting all the rules skewed towards the pitchers.
And Chris Ello.
Sprained his ankle. They do that.
I do that every day.
I was about to say.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Gwynn and Chris, hour number four. Like, the Dodgers are only leading 2-0, but it seems like they've already won the game. I hate when that happens in a baseball game. And it's way too early. Now, not like the Cardinals getting 10 in the first at Atlanta today and beating the Braves, but quick two-run home run by Max Muncy. And then in the top of the second inning, who was that? Soto hit that ball. And Kike Hernandez ran around like
he had never played
a little leaguer. And dove at the very end and made this circus catch on a routine fly ball. And Tony turned to me and he goes, that just makes it seem like it's going to be the Dodgers night.
It just does. Like in the playoffs, when you make a bad route like that, generally speaking,
it should cost you.
It costs you.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting on SportsCenter after it's all said.
Right. They'll probably say, oh, that was a great play. It was a terrible play. Kike Hernandez would be the first one to tell you, but he caught the ball, so that's all that matters. All right, so 2-0 Dodgers will keep you going on that game. Jerry Hairston Jr. joined us a little earlier today. He works for the Dodgers, Spectrum Sportsnet, and gave us some insight into what to expect tonight.
Who better to have on than friend of the show, one of my good friends, Jerry Hairston Jr. Jerry, how you doing today, brother?
Great, TJ. Chris, how you guys doing? You guys doing all right?
We're good. Everybody sleep all right last night?
You know what's amazing? I woke up around 3:30, 3:45, wide awake. I'm not even playing.
You're ready to go.
I've had bat in my hands for about 6 or 7 years, and I'm fired up, acting like I'm going to play. But the whole city is fired up. I think we're ready for game five, and we know there's nothing like Dodger Stadium in a playoff game. I think our fans are going to bring it tonight.
No, no doubt, Jerry. I mean, listen, we've been blessed as baseball fans in this playoffs, A, to get back to some quality baseball again, but B, we've been blessed with two game fives in the National League side with two very good matchups. I want to talk specifically, obviously, about the Dodgers-Washington matchup. A lot of people didn't see it going this deep. Washington has really performed well. But so have the Dodgers. How do you see this Game 5 unfolding? You guys are going up. Obviously, Walker Buehler gets a chance at a Game 5, going up against Steven Strasburg, who's pitched fantastic all season long.
Well, Steven Strasburg, in his postseason career, has given up two runs. Two. That's it. Five outs. That's how great and how dominant he has been. He's not just a power pitcher. He's a guy that, despite going to San Diego State, he's very intelligent. Command the strike zone.
Can't believe he's getting away with that line with two of us here.
Only Jerry can get away with that
line. I know.
You know, he's got incredible curveball, outstanding fastball. He will sink it a lot more now, and his changeup is devastating. So he is tough to deal with, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. And then on the flip side, you got Walker Buehler. He's one of the best young pitchers in all of baseball. He will run up that fastball at 100 miles an hour. The biggest thing for him is not to be too amped up in that first inning. If he has his fastball command early, he could be a nightmare for the opposition. So I expect a close game, and hopefully the Dodgers come out on top.
You know, I really like what Walker Buehler had to say. Jerry Hairston is our guest here, getting set for Game 5 at Dodgers Nationals. And, you know, they asked him about, you know, whatever the pressure might be about pitching at Game 5. He goes, I really don't look at it like that. He goes, it's fun. I mean, this is what we all get to play for, is a big moment, a big game like this. I mean, he said, I think you have to go out and look at it as a fun opportunity. To me, that's the right attitude to go into the game with.
I totally agree with him. I mean, you worked so hard to get to this point. It just doesn't start in the offseason. This started when you're 8, 9, 10 years old, you know, dreaming of this opportunity. I'll tell you what pressure is. Pressure is being on the Baltimore Orioles roster right now, knowing you may not have a job.
Yeah, touche.
Okay, so, I mean, you worked so hard to get to this point. You got to enjoy it. You know, everybody's watching at home. The fans are going to be electric at the stadium. You want to play in these type of games, and Walker Buehler definitely has that it factor, and he wants the ball in his hands.
Jerry, as we've sat back and watched these first four games, there's nothing the Dodgers have done that has surprised me. I knew they would wear down staffs. I knew they would foul pitches off, extend at bats, make the right base running move. They've done everything that I've expected. On the flip side, what do you think the Nationals have done that has allowed them to keep this series so close?
They've hit our bullpen. Mm. You know, our bullpen has done a pretty good job throughout the season. And obviously, we game four, we wanted to go with Rich Hill. He's a veteran guy. He couldn't get out of that second inning. Maeda did a really good job coming in for him. And then our bullpen kind of got hit around a little bit. Give credit to the Nationals. They have a really good team, man. I mean, you have veteran guys like Howie Kendrick, Ryan Zimmerman, who had a huge 3-1 home run, to go along with Anthony Rendon and Trey Turner. They're a team that may not get all the headlines, but they are more than capable. Make no mistake about it. The Dodgers are not taking them lightly, and they expect a tough game tonight. And whether it's offense, whether it's defense or pitching, the Dodgers have to have all three facets working tonight to be able to win.
Jerry Hairston is with us, getting ready for Dodgers and Nationals Game 5 tonight. I know the players don't think about this kind of stuff. I mean, at least I don't think they do. I mean, they have a job to do. They're focused on, you know, trying to hit Strasburg tonight, trying to be, you know, positioned correctly on defense and make all the plays. But I got to believe the Dodger fans are giving it one of those, oh my goodness, type of feelings, Jerry. I mean, you know, they didn't win the World Series the last 2 years. Most people thought they'd at least get to the World Series this year, and the old what-if game is probably sneaking in a little bit to the fan base there. And what if they lose? I mean, Los Angeles will still be standing tomorrow, but the Dodger fans are going to be pretty, pretty sour.
I think as a fan, that's a natural way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because you have no control of the outcome.
Yeah.
And I think it's harder to be a fan than it is a player. You know, Tony's been in huge games. I've got an opportunity to play in big games as well. I think it's easier to being a player because you're so focused on doing your job. You know, if you do your job, you give your team a chance to win. And I think it's a little bit easier for being a player. But as a fan, you have no control of the outcome, and you're begging for your team to win and move on. And it's been tough for the Dodgers the last couple of years, expecting to not only get to the World Series and winning it, but they've fallen short of their goal. So, you know, it is going to be nerve-wracking. I feel the pain of the fan. But at the same time, you have to be confident going at home, knowing you have Walker Buehler on the mound, and knowing you got an offense that can erupt at any time. And if they make adjustments, and it's not going to be easy, if you make adjustments on Steven Strasburg, hopefully you're able to squeak out 2 or 3 runs.
Can we talk a little bit, Jerry, about how good Justin Turner is? I mean, the dude, he's, don't get me wrong, he is fantastic during the regular season. But come postseason, this dude becomes a completely different monster. It's almost like his game is set up better for playoff-like atmospheres. Because if there's one thing about Justin Turner, if you get him one-on-one with a pitcher as far as executing an at-bat, he's going to win most of the time in these settings. What makes him so good in the playoffs?
I've got a chance to talk to JT, and the one thing I love is his mindset. You know, he knows that in the postseason that the pitcher is in trouble, whether it's runners on second and third, one out, bases loaded, runner on first, or he's walking up the plate by himself. He knows that the pitcher more time than not, feels that pressure. So he knows I'm at an advantage with my skill, my patience, and I'm going to wait for my pitch. And it could be the first pitch of the at-bat, but I'm going to hunt for my pitch. And when I get it, I am not going to miss it. And that's the approach he takes. And he understands that these pitchers, I don't care who you are, will make mistakes. And he's able to jump and pounce on those mistakes.
One thing you have to really credit the Nationals for, and I'm looking at going into this Game 5 tonight, is the fact that the Dodgers, and as good as Tony said they are, and they have been, I mean, they take so many borderline pitches, it's unbelievable, yet they've still struck out 52 times in the four games. And that's because Washington is pitching so well. I mean, obviously the Dodgers are not a team that strikes out a lot. Is that kind of maybe a key tonight, getting the ball in play a little bit more?
Absolutely, and the Dodgers are very well aware of that. Especially that game two, they struck out 17 times.
Yeah,
I tell you what, we strike out 17 times, we're not winning this ball game. Okay, so the Dodgers understand they have to make contact. Contact is king in this type of game, and execution, meaning moving runners along. If there's a guy on third base, you have to fit less than 2 outs. You have to put the ball in play, get that runner in from third base. So they're very well aware of that. And I think they're going to be a little bit more aggressive early in the count.
All right, Jerry, before we let you get out, I got to get some predictions from you. how do you see this game shaking out? What's the final score? I already am going to assume that you have the Dodgers winning.
I have the Dodgers winning 4-2 on a walk-off two-run homer.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, big L.A. fashion
a
right
walk-off,
there.
And it'll be by one of their rookies, too, because they've been doing it all year.
It's Hollywood.
All right, Jerry. Well, hey, we're going to catch up with you. Should your squad prevail, we will catch up with you in the next round, man. We appreciate you coming on, and thanks for the time, brother.
Great insight, Jerry.
I also could talk basketball, too.
Okay.
We might have you on to talk some Lakers.
We'll preview some Lakers if things don't work out tonight. Thanks, Jerry.
Sounds good, guys.
Take care, Jerry.
We're not going to be talking Lakers. It doesn't look like with Jerry anytime soon. He will also not be correct on the final score or exactly how that will happen. Because two-run walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth to win 4-2 cannot happen any longer. Dodgers now lead 3-0 over Washington. Kike Hernandez just hit a home run. So Strasburg gives up a home run to two of the first seven batters tonight. And it's 3-0 L.A. Bottom of two. We'll keep you up to date on that. Got any fun spouse stories you want to share with us? We might be interested. No, you don't.
Yeah, I'm single.
Yeah. So you
have nothing for us.
You've got nothing. You can't help. But if you out there would like to share some spouse stories, we've done that. We did it last week, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice stuff. Like last week, the first guy who let it off said that he can't stand it when his wife washes his water bottles because she puts the bottle in one spot and the lid in the other spot. So he spends hours trying to match up the lids and the bottles. So those are the type of stories we're looking for.
Chicago Bulls are crushing New Orleans Pelicans tonight, T. I'm very excited about an exhibition lead.
Yeah.
Just like you were about your Lakers beating. Who'd the Lakers beat? The Warriors
the
other night?
Warriors.
Yeah, that was
big. There's no reason not to be excited.
Very
about
excited about Bulls basketball this year.
I think they got
year.
A terrific chance.
To what, win tonight in an exhibition game?
Yes.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. It is 6:23, and the Dodgers, I was trying to look here. They have this. Do you like this percentage of chance that the team's going to win stat? Win probability.
No, I don't. I can't stand
it. It's so stupid, right? However, I just thought I would check it out right now. The Dodgers are leading 3-0 in the third inning. The Dodgers' win probability right now, according to whoever puts the stat together, is 87.4%.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Having watched the first 2.5 innings, I would almost put it at 99.4%. Yep. I mean, just nothing has gone right for the Nationals yet. Strasburg looks off his game. Buehler is right on target. And there's nothing to suggest, even though it's only the third inning, that Washington's going to even be able to get back in this game.
But this is their first road opening. 3-0 right now to Steven Strasburg.
This is their first rally of the game.
If they somehow
get
an out-out
of count. Yeah, that's not a good sign. Max Muncy, well, first, Jock Peterson looked like he had a home run on the first at-bat of the game. Then they reviewed it and said the ball went through the fence, so he got a ground rule double. But Max Muncy made that irrelevant by hitting a two-run home run on the very next pitch. And then Kike Hernandez homered just over the center field fence in the second inning. After, in the top of the second inning, he made a ridiculous play on a terrible route to a fly ball and still caught it. So it's all gone Dodgers baseball right now, 3-0. They're in the top of the third. Strasburg did draw a walk, so that's some hope for the Nationals. Earlier today, if you're just tuning into sports, it was not a good day for the Atlanta Braves. 13-1. St. Louis gets 10 runs in the first inning. That's an all-time Major League record for any playoff game.
It was so bad that they forced Brian McCann into retirement.
Poor guy. He just called it a retirement.
No, I'm just joking. No, he seemed like
he probably was planning it
anyway.
If he hadn't, by the fourth inning, he was definitely calling it a career. I mean, it was... Yeah. Man, that was ugly to watch.
After
for the
whole
Braves.
Chipping away thing didn't work out after the first
that
one, they decided, you know what?
That never came
time.
To. They were down 13-0 in the third. They chipped away to the tone of a Josh Donaldson home run in the fourth that made it 13-1. And then there was no scoring the rest of the way. So the Cardinals are in the NLCS. Trey Turner just hit into a double play, and so goes the Washington Rally. I mean, I'm telling you, this game's 99.99999 Dodgers.
Okay, now I
feel that crappy about Washington's chances watching this game so far.
We had planned to play some spousal support, but
yes.
We neglected to actually call for people to actually call in and with their spousal issues.
Right.
So we're going to postpone it till
PPD.
Yes.
Makeup
TBA.
Makeup date at a
TBD.
Later
to be
announced.
Determined.
To be determined.
Yeah.
Makeup date. But we did have some fun with the spouse segment last week. We told stories about things that our spouses do that drive us a little crazy. And you know what? Mine was even good enough to where I shared it with my wife later in the evening.
Gotta be careful.
That's dangerous, right?
Oh, Scraby's joined us. He was quite salty that we weren't going to do this segment.
Oh, are we going to do this right here?
He's decided to chime in.
We're
right
going to do
now.
This right here?
Now you're chiming in.
Well,
I thought the only reason I was doing this discussion with Tony over here is because I thought we had you out of the picture for a while. He just like threw his mic across the room.
But back to your what you were talking about, and sharing it with Lori.
Because I thought it was kind of funny, and she liked it too. But she liked it too because my story last week had to do with her amazing ability to always seem to walk into the front room or arrive home.
Right.
With the bases loaded in two outs.
When the action is at its highest.
Right.
When you can actually cut it with a knife.
Incredible. You know, you like, I'm on the edge of my seat, and then you hear the garage door go up.
Yes.
In our house, that means she's about 30 seconds away from being into the house.
You know what?
Which means I have to hit the pause button, and then I watch whatever happens with the bases loaded later.
You know what I thought about is that I think most wives just have that innate ability. Because I think my wife does it, too. She may not do it as much as your wife does, but...
She definitely
walks in on time, or she will ask me to do something right as that time is
That
happening.
Is something that I wouldn't share with her, because I think that she would be mad that I said that. The fact that she has the ability to just at random come into the house, home from work at the wrong time, that's just happenstance. The fact that she can walk down the stairs while... the football game is, you know, tied with 2 minutes to go and asked me at that moment to clean out the garage or something is just, that's not happenstance.
No.
I think there's a little control involved with that one.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Notice that you never get asked to do anything when you're not doing anything. Like
right.
when there's nothing on TV, it's only when...
Yes.
Excuse me,
honey, I'm going to go watch the ball game. No, you're not. You're going to clean out the garage. That's
I tell my wife all the time, if it's something about me doing nothing and you doing something that makes you feel like I need to be doing something.
I know. That's it. So that's our spouse stuff that we do. We'll let everybody get involved. I don't know. We might do it tomorrow. You never can tell, Scrape. Day after.
If we want Scrape to participate,
Scrappy's really
tomorrow,
upset right now.
I'm not upset at all. I'm not upset at all.
Salty.
You know that I'm set in my ways, and then when we changed it at the last possible second.
Well, we kind of had to change it because in order to have a successful segment there, we need more than 4 minutes. And we need, you know, a bunch of people to call in and kind of share all their stories. And, I mean, 4 minutes really wasn't enough time to make that happen.
I'm in agreeance with that.
All right.
So, I'm in agreeance with that, but.
So we're going to get.
Don't call me salty.
No, but salty.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you what the president of the United States.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Called the NBA's world championship winning coach today.
Riveting right here. I can just feel it.
Well. You kind of know the propensity of our president to say things that are a little bullyish.
I thought you were going to. What's his favorite word? what is the word that we put on our open all the time?
Cattywampus?
Cattywampus.
No, cattywampus is the name of my 0-5 fantasy football team. So I'm not like that name anymore. No, our president had some very critical words for the NBA's world championship coach today. We'll tell you what they were when we come back. It's Gwynn and Chris until 7. It's still 3-0 Dodgers in the third, and this is 97.3 The Fan.
.336 Tony Gwynn Jr.
God, I hope it's not 3:36. It is in Hawaii.
I'm sorry. 6:36. 6:36 Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris Ello. Last half hour, and according to our producer, who said we wouldn't be able to fill the last 45, we've done an excellent job.
We're halfway
Chris.
To doing that.
We are. And we're going to continue this.
Yes.
By the way, let me update you on the score: 3-0 Dodgers in the bottom of the third.
Yeah. Does Washington they have one hit?
They have one.
Yeah, and the Dodgers have two home runs. So,
see.
So far, so good for L.A.
Before we went to break, you teased a story.
Yes.
About Ellen DeGeneres, who was...
No.
No?
No.
And about her?
It wasn't about her. It was about the President of the United States.
Oh, yes. We were talking about that off there. Sorry.
The three-time NBA championship-winning coach of the Golden State
Warriors.
Can I give
him a little background on what happened here?
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
So... The Rockets GM,
Daryl Morey,
tweeted out something in support of the protest that's been going on in Hong Kong.
Correct.
Immediately deleted it, put out an apology.
Yes.
And that wasn't too long after the folks in China came back and basically were...
We're never watching the NBA again.
Basically, they've taken it off the air.
Yeah.
They have a big game that's supposed to happen tomorrow, I believe, between the Lakers and the Nets.
And they canceled that.
They haven't canceled it yet.
Oh, they haven't? I thought they did.
It's kind of up in the air. But okay. One of the things that they have done, they had these huge billboards that are plastered across all kinds of buildings. They took that down within a day.
Yeah.
That started to come down. You had the owner of... the Houston Rockets come out and basically say, we don't deal in politics. He was trying to clean it up.
Right.
Before China got too upset, it was too late. They are irritated.
China doesn't ever want to see another NBA game, and the Rockets are feeling rather poorly that they have put the NBA in this situation.
And so...
However, the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, said, this is ridiculous.
Basically.
I mean, come on, China, you can just deal with it. I mean, the guy has a right to his opinion. We have something called freedom of speech in our country. And, you know, this is his opinion. That's all it is. It's not necessarily the NBA's opinion.
But that's kind of where
it all started.
That's kind of where the trouble lies, right?
Yeah.
For folks out here in America,
mm-hmm.
you know, human rights is a big, big issue.
Right.
And when you get an American... giving his piece about it,
mm-hmm.
Apparently that messes all kinds of money up for the NBA. But as you said, the commissioner has come out and said, I support Daryl Morey for his ability to have freedom of speech in our league.
doesn't mean there aren't consequences for it. So he seemingly understands you can say what he want. That doesn't necessarily mean nothing's going to happen, but he is allowed to say what he wants.
Yeah,
so
right.
Fast forward to today, and I'll let you take over here.
I'll do my best. Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich both said that they agreed with the commissioner, basically, and with the way he handled it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And that got the President of the United States, Donald Trump, to weigh in. And Trump, obviously, he and Steve Kerr are not exactly buddy-buddy.
Pop has had some hot,
and
spicy
Popovich
words for him as well.
Popovich has had a few words as well.
you know what? Just so you it came across, I just saw it on a computer. Lakers NBA Cares event in Shanghai, canceled.
Oh, it is canceled now.
So are they in Shanghai
they're
right
in
now?
Shanghai.
So they flew
right
all the way over there
yes.
for nothing.
Ugh. I don't know that they
get. That's a long way.
Let me click on this article. Go ahead, finish this. I'm going to figure out if the actual game is canceled.
Well, Trump said today that he basically said Steve Kerr, in answering the question asked him, was, quote, like a little boy. He was so scared to even be answering the question. He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. That's what Trump said. Quote,
about
he
Kerr.
Didn't know about Kerr. He didn't know how to answer the question, and yet he'll talk about the United States very badly. Kerr has not commented on those comments. Stephen Curry has, however, and he said to reporters, well, I just want to welcome Steve, as in Steve Kerr, to the club. Because all of the Warriors were singled out by Trump, especially Curry, in 2017, after Curry and others said, we're not going to the White House if we win the NBA championship. So this has been an ongoing issue, back and forth and back and forth. And I guess it depends on which side of the political scale you fall on as to which side of this argument you're on. Whether you're feeling like Kerr and Popovich were pandering to China, which is what Trump said, or whether they have the right to express their opinion, which was that China ought to just kind of deal with it and not really worry so much about it.
The reality is for most, is probably somewhere in the middle. Like,
yeah.
you can still be allowed to express your opinion, regardless of whether some may consider it pandering or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of what makes America. Right?
Yeah, it says right here the NBA Cares event in Shanghai involving the Lakers was canceled Wednesday.
Yes, the game.
Just hours before it was scheduled to begin.
The games.
Oh, that's an event.
Yes,
an event,
the games are
the game.
Still on. It says Chinese state broadcaster CCTV will no longer air two preseason games.
Oh, okay. So they're still going to play the game.
Yes, CCTV is also reviewing all of its corporation and exchanges, cooperation and exchanges involving the NBA. It said in a statement posted on CCTV Sports' official social media account. So this is still up in the air, which is probably why they had to cancel those events. There was supposed to be a press conference with a lot of the players. That's also been canceled. You know, when bigwigs' money gets disturbed, things start happening.
Yes. It makes me believe and want to just say that sports and politics don't mix, but that's not – that isn't accurate.
Right.
I mean, I think that honestly, these guys in sports have a voice.
A bigger voice than they've ever had.
A much bigger voice than most of us have. So if they have a comment, they should be allowed to, I think, that's my opinion, they should be allowed to express that comment. That's all. I don't know whether if I agree, disagree with Popovich or Kerr. I don't know enough about everything that's going on between China and Hong Kong to make an intelligent that's normal for me, but to make an intelligent decision as to whether or not I agree with what Kerr and Popovich said. Although I have a good feeling, having heard them all speak in the past, that I probably do agree with them.
Yeah.
Without knowing for sure, I probably do. Most of the things that Kerr says concerning our president, I tend to agree with.
This is a big deal. I mean, mind you, I believe ESPN's The Jump is out there right now. They're the ones giving up the live stuff because they're in Shanghai right now.
Right.
Really?
Do you know who the president of basketball in China is?
Yao Ming.
Yao Ming.
Right.
So, I mean, this is...
And he was a Rocket.
He was a Rocket.
And the Rockets were such fans of Yao Ming.
That's how they got the relationship.
And that's also how they got the design of their uniforms.
Yes,
the Rockets'
right.
uniforms
right.
are designed after the Chinese national team's uniforms, which is what sparked James Harden, I believe, to come out and also try to do a little smoothing over on this situation
if you're a Rocket, and you are a superstar in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
because of Yao Ming and the fan base that he has watching the Rockets,
yes,
you are. That is money in your pocket, money that may be affected. So it doesn't surprise me at all
mm-hmm.
to see James Harden get out there and say, you know, we love China and everything.
He shouldn't have to comment on this whatsoever.
He shouldn't.
But he did.
But clearly, his pockets might have been affected by this, too.
Oh, yeah. He had to because he's the leader of the team,
and
China's
that,
team.
That part. So, you know.
All right. That's about as good on as far on politics and sports as I'm willing and want to go.
That's fair, and I agree.
Why are you pointing to Thomas?
Thomas has been feverishly working over here to pull the tape. Remember when you said you didn't say Patrick Holmes?
Oh, but he can't find it. I'll tell you why you do not want to hesitate to put Patrick Holmes in your lineup.
Yes!
Because I'm playing against him.
Well, I don't know who Patrick Holmes is, so.
By the way, it's a 98-80 lead now for the Bulls. They're pulling away in the third
quarter. Oh, I love my Bulls. Love my Bulls. Can't stand people like Scraby who spent an hour and a half to find one word on a tape.
He was trying the whole show to get that, too.
I mean, it just happened at 5:50.
For a guy who was so salty about his segment not getting played today, he really wanted to go after you after that part.
I wanted to go after both of you, to be honest.
Patrick?
I've actually been almost mistake-free today. That's an unusual thing for me.
Almost. You did say...
AJ Cole, or what was it? AJ...
You messed up something.
It was AJ.
Yeah, I think
something.
It was AJ Cole.
AJ Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Garrett Cole. AJ Cole. By the way, there is an AJ Cole. I played with him. That's why I said it.
Wasn't there an AJ Cole? Oh, no. He was an outfielder?
Pitcher for the Nats.
Oh, Alex Cole was an outfielder.
I just Googled Rockets uniforms to check Chris's backstory, and I didn't doubt that it was correct, but.
Sounds like it. You've been counting them all day.
It came up. These old jerseys. Remember the. The
no,
old
those
logo?
Were, no, not those ones. Those were prior to Yao.
No, yeah. I know. I'm saying, remember these old ones?
Yes,
they're like
the blue ones.
The blue ones with really like the smiling rocket?
Those are the ones that the Dream and Drexler Barkley
yeah,
wore.
Yeah, that's what they wore. And Pippen, I think, was even on that team.
Yeah.
No, but when they got Yao Ming, they changed them to the reds with the white trim, which is very similar to what the China
National.
Uniform was. All right.
Did you guys will speak?
You know what, Scraby? You're right. We're not going to make it. We got 14 minutes to go, and I have nothing left. So we'll see you all tomorrow. Well, he said we weren't going to make it. I'm just agreeing with him.
Oh, don't agree with that guy.
I know. I can't ever agree with
that guy. I guarantee you on the podcast that we're going to do next Monday, you would have let me have it.
You would have got my real feelings for that one.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling we're gonna get into fights in that podcast.
Fights?
Yeah.
Why do you think that? We get along, I think, incredibly well. For
I think so,
that
too.
As much time as we do together and come from so many different backgrounds and areas and places of distinction.
Real quick, I just want to kind of go back to Handshake Gate, but not necessarily about Handshake Gate.
Because it was the greatest story of all time.
Since we have nothing else, it's winning right now.
I want to talk about Baker Mayfield. Do you think at any point in this season right now that he's thought about his antics and how they may have lit a fire under every team that he plays?
I don't think that his antics have. I think that...
Prior to the season started, because he's actually been on pretty good behavior since the season started.
We talked about this actually a little yesterday. I feel that the Browns were going to be a marked team this year anyway, just because last year they weren't at all. They were a winless team going into last season, so nobody took them seriously. And Baker Mayfield took advantage of some of that, and the Browns took advantage to win 7 games. But I didn't think that that would be the case this year. And they're 2-3 right now. I mean, that division is not good. The Steelers are in a lot of trouble. The Bengals haven't won a game. And the Ravens are 3-2, but the Browns beat the Ravens in Baltimore.
So even though the Browns are off to kind of a sketchy start, they're still not in too bad a shape. They have a very good chance to still sneak out of that division. It might be one of those 8-8 divisions, but they might be able to even do that. Mayfield's been inconsistent. He's had some couple of good games and three really bad games. And Monday night was one of the really bad ones, 8-22, something like that.
I bring that up because there was an article written by Mike Freeman on Bleacher Report today.
Yeah.
And he kind of talked about, and this is aside from the Richard Sherman, there is a feeling around the league that he is too cocky for his for how good he is. It says the largest story ever is not about handshakes, but how some veterans believe Mayfield is too cocky for someone who hasn't won anything. Players, and not in insignificant numbers, have been saying quietly for some time they believe Mayfield's act like he's a better player than he is. Some said one defensive player who has won a Super Bowl ring, he acts like he's won 10 Super Bowls and he hasn't won any. Players will tolerate cockiness if it can be backed up with the ability and winning, and sometimes not even winning. Great plays give you a great leeway in this league, but Mayfield also has run afoul of the expectation that players should show other players respect, especially veteran ones.
I believe I said almost that exact quote in the offseason.
You did.
But that's when we were fighting with Scraby, because Scraby loved Baker Mayfield, and I kept telling him I didn't like him, and Scraby's like, how come you don't like Baker Mayfield? And
I remember, I was right here.
Is why I don't like him. It's not because I don't like him. It's because he's spouting off and he hasn't done anything yet.
First off,
now everybody's saying this and Scraby's nodding his head. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I totally get it. Totally understand.
First off,
he's kind of a bandwagon type of guy. So it doesn't surprise me that he's shaking his head now.
First off, all of a sudden these guys make perfect sense, huh?
Baker Mayfield, I said that he should have been the rookie of the year. I didn't say anything about me being a huge fan of his.
Oh, you
Now, I do like. Like I did like all of the stuff that he did in college. I thought that was fun, like the where he planted the flag in the middle of the field.
Yeah, that came back to bite him.
Yeah, but then you got Nick Bosa of the 49ers who's doing that too. So that's just one guy out of the entire NFL that
thought that was payback for Nick Bosa.
Because he was on the field when that whole thing happened.
He was on the other side.
When Baker was in Oklahoma, he grabbed the flag, went to midfield after they beat him in Columbus and planted it. And then people brought up the whole thing about, you see, this is the thing Richard Sherman got wrong. He didn't know that Baker Mayfield shook his hand, apparently. So then people were starting to bring up all the Kansas. Remember when Baker was playing Kansas and they didn't shake his hand and he took a huge offense to it?
Right.
Right.
What I think is that, and what Richard Sherman was trying to say, is that he made the handshake completely different than everybody else's that was going through the line. And I think that pissed him off. And when you're getting ready for a football game, as he said,
you take anything.
You're looking for any type of slight that'll get you going.
And who picked off Baker?
It was Richard Sherman
right out the gate.
Worked out pretty well for Richard Sherman as far as I can tell.
That, you guys know what that reminded me of, him making that up, was like, you guys ever seen the movie The Program?
Oh, yeah,
The middle linebacker was just making up stuff in order to want to go sack the quarterback?
Yeah, that is pretty good. There's a lot of trash talk on the field for Baker, too. Like, Baker. That's what Nick Bosa was saying he was doing.
Nick didn't seem very skilled at trash talking. Because
he just yelled his name.
It just seemed like something he doesn't do very often. and so when they asked him about it after the game, he was kind of funny. It just seemed like he was a little uncomfortable talking about what he actually said on the field.
Now, do you guys think that Odell is going to start becoming an issue now that they're losing?
No, I think because he has his boy there.
I don't think they're losing yet.
Yeah.
I think you're jumping the gun on the Browns. They're a game out of first place, and they beat the first place team on the road. So
last two games, he has only had two catches.
Yeah, so he'll cry like Adam Thielen did in Minnesota about not getting the ball enough.
You think Baker will apologize?
I don't know about that, but I know that the next time that Beckham catches 10 passes, he's not going to say, God, I love my quarterback, Baker Mayfield. I want to thank him for throwing me the ball so much. Guys only are critical when they don't get the ball.
Did you guys see the video of Odell Beckham pregame at the Niner game? He was like dancing and having a good old time, and I don't know if he was supposed to catch a pass and forgot, but somebody threw a pass right as he finished his dad's move and it hit him square in the helmet.
Really? That's hilarious.
It's kind of hilarious.
Did you guys hear that Kirk Cousins got a phone call from Donald Trump?
What?
After the Vikings beat the Giants the other day?
This is strange.
This is strange, and since we have a couple of minutes to fill with strange stuff, here it is. Cousins received a call from President Trump, who was apparently very impressed with the quarterback's performance during the victory over the Giants.
Has he been watching the rest of the season?
Evidently not.
Does Cousins, he have better things to do?
Cousins was skeptical when he heard that Trump was trying to get a hold of him. His agent texted him and said, "Hey, call this number. The White House has reached out and wants you to call this number." I said, "Are you serious?" thinking it was a joke. Cousins got the phone number, dialed it, and they answered and said, "I was just calling the White House," and they said, "Hold for the president."
That's crazy.
And then he said for a 30
That's kinda cool, isn't
it? He said it was just a 30-second call saying congratulations, very blue, very out of the blue, very random. Although Trump has become a polarizing figure, Cousins doesn't want politics brought into this. Said he would return a phone call from any president, no matter what their political affiliation is.
Smart man.
Cousins said, "When the president calls, I don't care who it is, left, right, whatever, down the middle. And if he calls, if he says, call me, I'm going to give him a call." So
I guarantee you there's other players out there that would have not called president back.
I guarantee you there's players that have called and made sure nobody else knew about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Cousins was the quarterback of the Washington Redskins for a while. Keep that in mind.
Good point.
And they played president, Cousins played golf with the president a couple of weekends.
Oh, well, they're
in 2017, I'm sorry, 2017.
Oh, they're besties.
They're not besties. They just played golf together one time. Anyway, that got us to the end of the show.
That did.
Almost. No, we still got a minute.
Great job there, Chris, getting us to the end. You going to leave me hanging there at all? You leave me hanging?
You're going to leave me hanging?
You leave me hanging?
Oh, there you go.
Thank you.
I got one more story that will take us to the end.
We don't really want
to
hear your
Kevin
story.
Kevin O'Connell is being considered highly for this Redskins head coaching job.
Good. I hope he gets it, too.
I hope he gets it, too.
When I did games with Ted on the Aztec broadcast.
No, he was my former teammate. High school teammate, Kevin O'Connell.
Would he know who you are?
Yes.
No, he would not.
Yes. If we get him on the phone, he knows exactly who I am. I've seen him a couple times.
Did you block for him?
No, but I sacked him one time in practice.
I know you lying now. You sacked him.
Sacked him one time in practice. You are such a liar.
Was this like when they let, like, you know, the guys that don't play very much go on?
Like fifth quarter warrior? But Kevin O'Connell, he is being seriously considered for this head coaching job. And
I will say this, that people that have worked with me in broadcasting have gone on to great things. Because Kirk Morrison was my color man, and now he's taken over the world. And Kevin O'Connell was our sideline reporter for Ted and I during the Aztec broadcast a couple years.
Really?
Yeah, we'd go down to the sidelines to Kevin O'Connell.
I got the right partner there.
And now Kevin O'Connell might be the new...
All right, you guys.
Coach of the Redskins.
All right, we have made it to the end, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy birthday, Michaela.
Happy birthday, sweet Michaela. I will see you in dinner here in about 15, 20
Happy
minutes.
Happy Yom Kippur to everybody out there,
including our boss,
yeah.
Adam Klug.
Although it wasn't a happy
Although
one for
it
him
probably was ruined by that Brave game.
Slightly.
13-1.
Do you think he cried today?
I'm pretty sure he did.
The thing is, in Yom Kippur, you can't eat all day long.
Oh, so he had to, he's hangry too.
He had to take that 13-1 loss and not be able to even drink water during the game.
Wow. Hang with him.
Yeah.
Hang with
him,
Adam.
That's a hang with him, Adam.
Thank you to Matt Scraby, Thomas Andrews, Chris Ello,
the Ball Club.
We'll see you manana.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.